What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. I'm very, very happy to be here again on this Monday lunchtime. I hope you've had a good start to your week. I've got a wonderful guest on the show today, but before we invite her into the space and have a conversation, I just wanted to share with you, as you know, every couple of months, something like that, we put out a magazine, which is My Green Pod magazine. The last one went out on June the 5th for World Environment Day. You can head over to mygreenpod.com. You can download that copy for free. There's also an abundance of information about loads and loads of cool things in the ethical, sustainable climate space. So whatever you're into or whatever you want to get into, do head on over there. And, you know, if it's driving or if it's cooking or walking or you're interested in energy and saving bills or, you know, all kinds of stuff, then please do head over and just get clued up, because we can all see that the planet is definitely changing before our very eyes. And maybe if the science is correct, the human impact of that is making things happen more quickly than usual. So, you know, whatever we can do to lean into clean and, you know, lift our foot off the gas a little bit and give the planet an opportunity to restore and rejuvenate itself, that would be wonderful. But that ties me nicely to what I wanted to speak about today. There was an article in that magazine, in the World Environment Day issue. You may have heard, if you've been listening to the show for a while, there's a new set of adverts have started recently, and it's called 4 Acres Earth. So I want to read you a little bit about 4 Acres Earth, just so when you hear the adverts, and if you thought, oh, I must do that, this is a bit more information about it. So the headline is Your Patch of the Planet, and this new project will turn ordinary people, that's you and me, although I'm sure you're not ordinary, I'm sure you're extraordinary, into Earth's guardians. So this is a bit of intel on it. So there are nearly 37 billion acres of territorial owned land on this planet, ranging from desert and tundra to rainforest, urban park, ocean floor and tropical reef. And all of it is alive, of course, if you believe that Mother Nature is a living, breathing, conscious being that we do. And obviously, it's all under pressure, which we've just talked about. Despite our population of over 8 billion people, almost all of it has nobody really to look after it. Now, there is a statistic that the indigenous communities of our times are custodians of roughly about 85% of the planet. But obviously, that's a small community in the grand scheme of things, and they seem to be doing all the work. So we thought, because this is a quiet crisis at the heart of a bold new era, that, you know, this idea began with a conversation between myself and my mentor. It has since grown into something that could change the way each one of us relates to the world that we live in. It's called 4 Acres Earth. OK, so the seed for 4 Acres Earth was planted during a conversation, as I said, between me and my mentor. The vision took root and is now alongside my partner and editor in chief, Katie Hill. She's the storyteller on the side of things. And, you know, I'm really the kind of person that kind of grounded it and brought it to life. It's a simple idea. Every person on planet Earth is assigned a random 4-acre plot somewhere on this planet. Now, it might be a stretch of Amazonian canopy, a bleached patch of coral, or a strip of urban wasteland in a city that you've never visited. But we invite you to care about this bit of land, to become a custodian or a steward of it, and to learn about the pressures that it faces. To learn what's living there, what the struggles are, and also to imagine what it could be. And what the site will do eventually is it will give you information, very clever. It uses a bit of AI, it uses current knowledge, it uses insurance, the way insurance companies insure land, and it will give you a bunch of information about what's already there, what the issues are going to be over the next decade, and how the person that owns the land can mitigate it by potentially investing money into it. So what we want is we want you guys to go and sign up, become a custodian of your 4 acres of earth. The site isn't officially launched yet, but there is a waiting list. And what I can tell you is the waiting list, when the first round of land that gets distributed, you will get those first options. So it's going to be, we're going to start with coastlines and rainforests and mountains and deserts and things like that, all of the land that's not kind of, if you like, occupied or people living on it. So you'll get an opportunity to sign up for those first wave of land that's being distributed. So if you really like that idea, do go to it's obviously www dot the number 4 acres earth. So it's four, the number acres, ACRES, earth, earth.com. Go and join the waiting list and get your first round of 4 acres, so you can become a steward. And you can educate yourself, you can educate other people about it, but more importantly, you're reconnecting with nature. And I think that's the biggest issue that we've lost, is that disconnection that we've got due to the environment and the societies that we live in that have taught us that, we're separate from nature. And actually, if you think about every single product, every food item, everything you drink, everything you wear, everything you go to work in, everything you live in, all businesses, they all create products and profit from nature. So let's not forget that. That's my little soapbox bit for this week. And brings me very, very nicely to a wonderful guest that we've got on the show today. Our guest is Alexia. I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Sito. She is the director of Love, Peace, Harmony Foundation. Now, Alexa, Sito, is that correct, Alexa? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah, you got it
Oh, good, great.
perfect.
So she leads global initiatives to bring healing, harmony, and empowerment to communities in need. As one of Master Shah's leading teachers, we'll find out about Master Shah. Some of you may have heard of him already. She spent many years immersed in the wisdom of Tao, service and transformation, and now leads the foundation's humanitarian, educational, and healing work around the world. Alexia, it's a real joy. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Welcome to Lean Into Clean.
Thank you, Jarvis. This is exciting. I'm looking forward to it too. You're an absolute legend, and so it's an honor to be here. Thank
Oh,
you.
bless you. Takes one to know one. So I shall reflect that legendary straight back to you as well. Let's start with you. So, what first drew you into or onto this path of healing and service? Give us a backstory.
Well, there was a pivotal point where around 2016-ish, I traveled to India. It was my first time kind of visiting like this magical land. And I went there.
It's my
It
father's
wasn't.
home country, I might add.
Is
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it?
I'm
Oh my gosh.
half Indian, straight down the middle.
Oh wow, you like it's such a special place. And For me, it was a real activator. It was not something I didn't go on any like pilgrimage or with any big intention. I just was curious about the culture. I had an opportunity to go and volunteer at a school. I love working with children. My mom's a kindergarten teacher, so it
Oh,
kind of like
nice.
runs in the in my blood. And I was like, this is something that I've always dreamt of experiencing. But when I went there, I really like my whole consciousness blew open. You know that quote where it's just like when your consciousness expands, like you cannot go back. And so that's not word for word, but that's the essence. It was like that. And it was on every level. There were like spiritual awakenings, physically just seeing like there was one particular moment, and I'll share this one because there were like thousands, but there was this one that I think resonates with your landfill story, the documentary that you
Oh,
did.
yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, there was this moment where I was driving, I was in a taxi in India, I was on my own, I was in the back, and I'm driving over this like bridge. I'm approaching this huge overpass, and I love nature, so I was like, oh, like this, like I was excited to see the river like that we're driving over. So I'm like getting ready to look out this bridge to the river because I could see that we're approaching this overpass. And I look to my left, and there's no water. And there's just this mountain of clothes.
Oh, wow.
Like it's hard to imagine it, but it was like a mountain. It was like hundreds of feet high. It was so surreal. Like I couldn't fathom that that even existed, let alone that I was seeing it and that it was in the middle of a city, like so normalized. Like it was just this mountain of clothes.
Wow, which city
And
were
I
you in,
was
just out
like,
of interest?
it was like maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes outside of Delhi.
Outside of Delhi. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
trying to imagine, like it was all kind of like
Yeah.
mishmash together,
Yeah.
but it was like, and it was the most like normalized thing. Like we're just driving, going to some place, and it's just, oh, we're just driving over this mountain of clothes. And I was like, I just started bawling. Like I couldn't, it was like every part of me was rejecting that was even real. But at the same time, it was real. So I was trying to integrate that in that moment, and it was so earth-shattering. And like I was never the same person after a lot of the experiences I had there. Like I came back, and for a while my family was like, you went crazy. You've gone nuts. I was like, I stopped my work. I was like throwing out everything I owned. I was like, I'm going to the mountain forever. Like it was extreme. But yeah, eventually I integrated, came back, and then like, okay, I'm here to serve. But like it was really eye-opening.
Yeah,
Yeah.
thank
So
you for
that would
that,
be
because
an
in
activator.
India is it is an extraordinary place. I mean, I remember I went for the first time in my late teens, and we've been back, at least every couple of years, apart from when we had children and waited for a while. But and you're right, it's so deeply spiritual. On every corner, there's a temple. Everybody in India seems to live in trust of the divine. It's like, if this is going to happen, it's God's will kind of thing. And that's what I love about it. It does have this deeply spiritual essence to it. So I'm thrilled that that was your awakening. I love India. It's definitely my most favorite place on the planet. So
Yes.
how did you become a devoted student then of Master Shah? So you, I mean, presumably this was after your experience in India or not? Was it before?
It was after.
Got you. So tell us about that. How did you meet kind of Master Shah's teachings, and what resonated for you? What was it that kind of made you decide that this was your going to be certainly one of your paths for your spiritual enlightenment?
Yeah, well, the main point was the Love Peace Harmony song. It was so simple, but when I it was my first interaction with any of Master Shah's teachings, a friend of mine who was my Reiki master at the time and a mentor and a soul sister, she's like, you've got to go to this meditation. You're just going to love it. It's so profound. And I was like, okay, because you said I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
So I went to this meditation and immediately I heard the Love, Peace, Harmony song. And again, I just like tears just started coming out of my eyes because I was like, this is so simple. And yet it says everything. And like, I think a lot of kids and especially people who are on a conscious path, they may relate to this. But like, ever since I was a kid, I don't know why, but I always would like dream of world peace. Like, it was always something in my heart. Like, even on birthdays, I would literally wish, like, when I'd make my wish for world peace, always. And it was so, like, I don't know. I would always have adults say, oh, you have such an active imagination, or you're so optimistic, you have to be more realistic. This is the real world, get with it. And so over years and years and years, you start thinking, am I crazy? Like, am I crazy for just wanting peace? Like, is that so wild? So it was like that kind of energy. And so, but then I heard this, like, teacher, doctor, this man of great stature, which is wonderful, but his heart, it really cracked my heart open. And I
Yeah.
felt so seen because I was like, wow, this person, also believes this and is actually like sharing it with the world and doing
Yes.
something about it.
Yeah.
So that really inspired me. And it's very simple. It's just, I love my heart and soul. I love all humanity. Join hearts and souls together. Love, peace, and harmony.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we're going to play that song, aren't we, hopefully? Yeah,
Yes.
so I think I think if you, it's all right with you, let's cut to a commercial break in this moment. What we'll do is we'll come back after the break. You can tell us a little bit more about the impact that the song had on you, and then we'll play the song so everybody can get to feel what you felt. So let's do that. We'll be back just in a few moments.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so I'm gonna. Is there anything you'd like to say about the song before we play it? Because I know it was this kind of awakening for you, but just give us a little bit of a bite.
Yeah, for sure. So, I had this like awakening experience, but I also, like I mentioned, my friend and soul sister, when she first heard it, she was like, I can't even listen to this. Like, this is so cheesy. She's like,
She found it annoying.
yeah, she found it annoying. She's like, I can't even listen to this. But the thing is this song, it's not just a song.
Yeah.
It's actually like a sacred frequency and vibration. Master
Well, it's a
Sha was
mantra, isn't
walking.
it? It's a
It's a
chant. It's a
mantra.
chant. It's a mantra. It's a
Yeah.
vibrational shift. All of that. So.
Yeah. And Master Sha, when he was walking in the Redwood Forest in California 22 years ago now, he actually asked, whatever you believe, the source, the divine God, the higher powers, for a song for healing humanity at
Right.
this special time of this new era, for bringing oneness and unity. And that's when the song was received. So it carries a special frequency and vibration. So people actually use it for healing, for harmonization, for cleansing, for so many things. So it carries special frequencies. So I just encourage anyone listening to just like, I mean, if you're not driving or doing something, close your eyes, open your heart, just give yourself these few minutes to just re actually receive and just feel and see after those 3 minutes, like how you feel inside. And you can make a request even for something in your life or for the world. If there's anything that you would like a shift with,
Yeah,
it's like a
lovely.
tool.
Yeah. So let's together, Alexia, you and I, because we both have this deep spiritual practice, and we trust the divine, we trust whatever you want to call it out there, whether it's God or the great mystery or Buddha or whatever, it's for us it's all the same thing, right? We just have different roads to the same place. But let's set an intention now for us, for our producer and all of the UK health teams, and for everybody listening, and all of their families and all of their communities and everybody in their street and everybody in their villages and towns and cities and everybody else all around the world. Let's set the intention that this song, this vibration, is going to touch everybody's spirit, everybody's soul, everybody's heart. That's our intention, Alexia. Do you want to add anything on top of that?
I will add from your opening, which I loved, is that everyone remembers, refocuses, restores, and lives in love, peace, and harmony.
Here we go. Close your eyes and feel this move you. Ooh, I feel much more peaceful and relaxed after that. Hope you all are feeling that relaxation too. That was beautiful, Alexia. Thank you. I have listened to the song a few times, but I'll be honest, I haven't given it my full attention and focus like I did then. It's really impactful, isn't it?
Yes, it does make a difference when listening to it as like a tool for transformation or like a meditation tool rather than just a song. Because especially if you're like you're a musician, you get music, so you might listen to it and be like, okay, like if it's not your vibe, anyone who, especially with music, we all have our genres and styles. But if you listen to it more from a place of like this is a higher dimension field of light and I'm receiving it, it becomes then like more of an action than just like I'm listening to a song.
Yeah, I love it. How can people get that song? Because it's available for free, isn't it? But where can people play it, and what do they need to search for?
So lovepeaceharmony.org, we have a page with the song, so you can find them there. And I say them because we have incredible musicians worldwide who have done so many different renditions of the song, like salsa and classical, like all these different cool renditions, reggae. So you can check it out on lovepeaceharmony.org. You can download them. You can download this original version with Master Shah, and of course also on YouTube as well.
Nice. So that's the original with Master Shah's voice on there. Yeah, lovely, lovely. So let's just take this moment then to tell us about Master Shah. Tell us, who is this person? What's he all about?
He is definitely all about healing, unity, love. I mean, I could go on and on, but the main essence is one of his famous quotes is, I have the power to heal myself, you have the power to heal yourself, and together we have the power to heal and transform the world. So it's really about empowering people to access their own self-healing abilities, and to share that with the world, to love each other. I mean, he founded the Love, Peace, Harmony Foundation, which is really rooted in creating this world that's more loving, peaceful, and harmonious for everyone. And yeah, he's been on this journey since the age of 4, and he's well into his senior years. So he has been serving for many, many decades. And he has a really cool journey. I've had, as his spokesperson and also a host of a lot of the media that he does, I've had a really great honor of being able to do a lot of interviews with him, learning about his life's journey and work. And it's just been incredible to witness and see the evolution from, becoming a medical doctor in China to venturing into traditional Chinese medicine. He had a very successful acupuncture practice in the Philippines and in Vancouver. And then he developed into more spiritual healing. And he's always had a very deep connection to the divine, and that's guided like his service throughout. And I've personally witnessed like what people would call miracles, like it's the new normal in my life after the 10 years of studying with him. Like people who cannot walk, walking, people who are blind, seeing in 5 minutes, like just so many wild stories. And I myself have experienced really incredible transformations that go beyond like what we've been told is possible. Time and time again. So it's just been amazing. It's been an incredible journey, and he's someone that really stands for service to others, which I find very moving.
No, I agree. I agree. I've had the wonderful pleasure of being in Master Shah's company on a few occasions, and he is he's a remarkable, enigmatic but full of energy, a ambassador for love and joy and happiness, and all of those things that are in the song, right? Love, love, peace, and harmony. I mean, he literally is the walking embodiment of those frequencies, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. Like, if you know, if you've been in his pre, like a lot of people, they think, oh, Dad, Grand Master, I'm gonna like close my eyes and be so calm, and he's up
No.
there screaming and singing and dancing, and you're like, whoa, trying to keep up. It's like, it's quite an experience, so it's amazing.
Yeah.
This is
Yeah, he's a force. He really is a force. And I love that about him. What
yeah.
let's just talk about a bit about you, because you've become a leading teacher within the Master Shah kind of network. So obviously love, peace, harmony, but there is also Master Shah's teachings. There's the calligraphies. There's the, anybody that wants to find out more about Master Shah, please do go to lovepeaceharmony.org website and get clued up. But just tell us a little bit about your role within the organization on top of, being the media spokesperson. And we're going to be seeing each other at our People Environment Achievement Awards a week today for London Climate Action Week. I understand you're coming in for that, which is going to be amazing. A shout
Yeah,
out to
so
Richard,
excited.
who's a dear, he's obviously a dear friend of mine, but also kind of heading up the Love Peace Harmony Foundation at the moment, which is absolutely brilliant. So big shout out to you. We love you very much. But anyway, let's hear about you, Alexia, and your role and what you're achieving, what you're hoping to achieve, what's next. Just tell us, give us a bit of background.
Sure. I mean, well, my roles within Love, Peace, Harmony and Master Shah's organizations have evolved, over a number of years. I guess what I'll share is I came from a background of film and television. So I worked in film and TV for about 10 years on the
Did
production
you?
side of things. Yep.
Interesting.
And
Okay.
before that, I was in the performing arts. I was a theater kid. I went to arts high school. Like, since I was a kid, I just loved performing. So I had this really creative performing arts background. And I worked a lot in reality TV, which is a big thing that I switched after that trip to India, because I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't want to be used. And I heard an interview of you talking about, oh no, it was this woman you were interviewing, and she was a fashion designer talking about using creativity in a different way. And I was like, that really resonates with how I felt, because I felt like I was using these gifts, but I was promoting consumerism. I was promoting something that was fake. Reality television is fake. It's called reality, and you think it's real, but it's actually
Yes.
fake.
It's
So
just
I
for
was like,
entertainment.
yeah, I was like, wait, like, this is not real. And so I was like perpetuating this illusion that I'm actually, doing this work to undo within myself. So I was like, okay, this is not the vibe anymore. So that's when I shifted. And that's when I shifted over to all the stuff that I started doing with Master Shah, volunteering, sharing, energy practices, healing, meditation, using them on my own life to heal and uplift myself, and then started sharing them with others, and particularly with communities in need, communities who may ha not always have access to services like that. And so that was something that really drove me, that I felt very passionate about.
What type of
And
communities? What are we talking?
I would say, like, if you want to, it depends if you want to use the word like lower income communities, like communities that might have,
Yeah.
refugees, immigrants, newcomers. Like, I grew up in a community in Toronto called Scarborough. If you know, it's pretty epic. But like, when I was young, people would say, oh, you live in the ghetto. That's what they would tell me. And it was
Okay.
really like, I was like, really? Because I love it. Like, I was like, what do you mean? But when I started growing up, I realized all these stigmas and judgments people had towards my neighborhood, because it was full of refugees, it was full of newcomers, it was low income. And then I also started to learn about, like, oh, well, there's not as much social services, there's not as much access to things that are like normalized in so many other communities. And a lot of like, I'll just give you an example. My mom is a kindergarten teacher in this community. And after the summer, she sat down with the kids and, "How was your summer? Did you go swimming? Did you go out in nature? What did you guys do?" "No, I just stayed home." My mom had to hold back her tears,
Yeah, how
leave the
sad.
room, and start bawling because she was unconsciously ignorant to the fact that these children's parents, they didn't even have the ability at that time to maybe take them out to go to the park or go to the local swimming pool or something in nature that wasn't of access to them. So, you know, they spent their whole summer in an apartment in this little box. So it is eye-opening. And so for me, bringing meditation, bringing self-healing, bringing awareness building and uplifting practices in communities like that is vital. And particularly when there's higher levels of, domestic violence or crime or things like that, because of the circumstances of those communities, not to anyone's fault, but because of the circumstances that they're within, it empowers and it actually like breaks these generations of challenges. And we've actually seen it in one of our projects in Atlanta. They have what they call the preschool to prison pipeline. So a lot of these children, they grow up in households with maybe one parent, or grandma's raising them, or parents are working three jobs. So they're put in these circumstances that are really challenging, and that affects them emotionally. So when they go to school, they may lash out, or they may have behavioral issues. And what happens is, when do they get a chance to learn emotional regulation? Because it's not at home and it's not at school. So when does that happen? And when they turn legal age of adulthood, if they lash out, now they're going to juvenile detention, now they're going to prison. So unfortunately, a lot of kids, they don't even get the opportunity to learn these techniques. So when they do, what we've seen is their behavior changes. And in fact, it impacts the family, then the family changes. So then they don't lash out, and they learn how to self-regulate. They learn how to nurture themselves, which is one of the first pillars of the Love, Peace, Harmony Foundation, learning how to nurture ourselves, then nurture others, then nurture the earth. And so to me, that was so profoundly inspiring to actually see the shifts in children, in adolescents, and that empowers them regardless of their circumstances. That they can rise above their circumstances and, in fact, change them to create this new world that we're talking about, and to create generational systematic change. So instead of systematic challenges and issues, we're actually creating the earth that we're talking about manifesting. So that to me has been really empowering. And I think that was one of my favorite ways to use these techniques and practices that I've been learning with Master Shah.
That's amazing. I mean, absolutely brilliant. Firstly, thank you. I think you deserve a round of applause just for doing that work. You mentioned the pillars there. You've talked about the first pillar. We'll talk about the rest, but before we do that, let's just very quickly go to another commercial break. So I think this is a perfect moment. We'll come back and we'll talk about how many pillars are there? Three? Is there three main pillars?
Yes, three.
Okay, great. So don't go away. We're going to hear about the three pillars and how we can integrate them into our lives. See you soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, there. So, Alexia, let's just talk about those. In fact, let's go from one to three with the pillars, just so people really understand those. Because I think, what you've just described is not only inner work, because we do understand how important that is, but actually, by the sounds of those pillars, it's inner work that then has a knock-on effect on your outer experience. So talk us through the three pillars. Give us a master class, as you're one of the master teachers.
it's very simple. And what I would share is that we have it sort of aligns with the Love Peace Harmony song. So the first line of the Love Peace Harmony song is, I love my heart and soul. And the first pillar is nurturing ourselves. So it is so important to nurture ourselves. Like I was just speaking about self-regulating, learning how to work with our thoughts, with our emotions, with our entire being. And having the ability to do that is so empowering because it empowers us to be able to deal with any situation that comes across in life. Life is really not always easy. We can deal with all kinds of things, grief and loss, serious challenges that we have to overcome to move forward. And so having those abilities to really create that strength to self-regulate when we feel emotional, to work with our thoughts and realize we're not our thoughts and go beyond them, to really, kind of master our being as a human being leads us to the second pillar, which is, I love all humanity, which really represents nurturing others, being of service to others. We are one. So looking around to our community, like you mentioned with 4 acres, being a custodian of the land, like where are you in the world? Who's around you? This doesn't go for everyone, but a lot of people, especially in North America, where like there's this hyper focus on like being an individual, being independent. Sometimes we don't even know who our neighbors are. Like we couldn't even name our neighbors by name. And it's just like wild to think of when like there's so many indigenous communities that live in harmony that just support each other. Some don't even, use money. They just use trade and they just work together. And so it's like there's just different ways of life. So how are you nurturing the people around you? How are you serving others, serving your community? What are you doing to make a difference in the world? And then the third is nurturing the earth, caring for the earth, being a custodian of the earth. So this is, something that has so many infinite layers, but just starts somewhere. Like I love that this is called lean into clean, for example. So it's like leaning in, like just asking ourselves, like, what can we do to make a difference? For some people, it's going to be, so magnanimous, so huge. For others, it might be just really small changes that we make in our day-to-day life that are a little bit more digestible for us, that we take step by step. But everyone can do something, everyone can make a change. And so those are really the three pillars that we believe will bring us this world that's more loving, peaceful, and harmonious for everyone.
Brilliant. I love it. Love it. It's very simple, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful at all, but it's very simple. And I do believe that when people look into kind of trying to live a more spiritual or more conscious life, if you look too far on the outside, it can actually get very complicated. And actually, the simplicity of it, because it's true nature, it's all of the things that we are without having to experience ourselves in relationship to something else. It's literally being in relationship with self. So I love that. I mean, let's talk a little bit about modern life and the effects that our emotional and mental well-being are getting. What do you see people struggling with most right now? Like, what are the key elements that stop people from simplifying their lives and, bringing that love, peace, harmony philosophy into play?
Well, again, it's just infinite. Everyone has their own unique situation. But one thing I will say is an overall feeling of hopelessness and despair. I think a lot of people look at the world, or even in their own life, and sometimes it just feels so huge that it's like, what can I do? Like this, like for example, the climate crisis, a lot of young people have like, there's a word for it, but it's basically like depression and
Yeah,
anxiety. What is
climate
it?
anxiety.
Yeah, climate anxiety. Because it's like you look on the news, you look around, and you one day it's hot, one day it's cold. You see all these things happening, and it's like, whoa, this is so much bigger than me. So how could I possibly make a change? And so then people just shut down, and they just turn off. And it could even be like, with going green. Like, for example, I recently moved, and it's like, if I, it's like, for example, my sister, she's a real green girl. Like, she's like in the jungle, she's a jungle baby, no makeup, barefoot, all that, like, she's my teacher when it comes to being green. I'm a little bit more of a
Nice.
hybrid. Like, sometimes I will
Yeah.
wear a little synthetic fragrance, consciously. Like, I don't know. But she's like giving me the vinegar spray to clean. She's like, you got to use this. Don't use a toilet paper towel. I'm like, yeah. But the point I'm saying is like, it's, I think for everyone it's different, and there's steps. And
Yeah.
even just doing, I think, so yeah, basically this overall feeling of hopelessness and despair. And what I mean by what I was just saying is, like, so for example, if all of a sudden you're like, you're not a green person at all, and you're like, I need to do everything green. So you really love the, this smelly stuff, and all of a sudden you're using a vinegar cleaner. And then you're like, where do I shop? What do I do? How do I do this? And then you're just like, forget it. I'm not doing anything. And people just give up. But it's not like that. You just take little step by step. Oh, I'm going to change this today. Oh, I'm going to change this tomorrow. Just a little something day by day. Before you know it, it's like the whole house is different, and it feels good. It feels natural. And it's the same with the world. Like, maybe we can't change the whole world at once, but maybe I'm just going to meditate for 5 minutes a day. Maybe I'm just going to do like a good deed this week, or I'm going to do something that feels a little bit more nourishing for myself, not push myself so hard. Like, so I think one thing we can do as an antidote to that hopelessness and despair is really look, like you said, look within and just take things step by step and day by day, and do things in bite-sized, digestible amounts. Because those little actions and habits over time compound. And it's even beyond our comprehension how they actually add up. And the thing is we are a collective. So it's not just little me making a change. If every little me, if every 8+ billion little me's made that change, that is when that wave is happening. That is when, or every, you have 70,000 or however many listeners. If everyone listening made a little extra change every day, that's a wave. Like, that's a big impact. So that's the other thing, is I think that unity consciousness and remembering, like, we're not alone. Even if we feel alone, even if everything in our environment tells us we are, we're not.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm voting for you when we get to decide our next leader. You're definitely getting my vote. Let's play your next song. Would you believe time has nearly run out? I do feel like I could talk to you all day, and I'm sure everybody listening could be listening to you constantly just for good vibes. So, tell us the second song you've chosen and why you've chosen it.
Okay, well, this is, I mean, I chose another rendition of the Love Peace Harmony song because
Right.
it's an upbeat version, and I love this version because we have, I think about 29, don't quote me on that, but somewhere around that, different languages. And the whole point of the Love Peace Harmony song is we really want as many cultures, languages, people singing and chanting this song as possible, to bring that healing frequency and vibration to the world. And so I just love this version because it's upbeat, it's happy, and it brings together different people of various ages, cultures, languages, and come together as one.
Yeah, lovely. Great. So let's hear this more, well, different version, upbeat version of the Love, Peace, Harmony soundtrack. Great. I love that. It's absolutely brilliant. All those different voices and yeah, different languages. It's beautiful. Thank you very, very much. I think that's my groove right there.
I love it. Yes.
So, Alexia, we are coming to the end of the show. We've literally got 5 minutes, but I do have a question for you. If love, peace, and harmony could be felt by everyone listening right now, what difference do you believe it would make to the world?
Well, I think when we have peace in our heart, Everything in our life occurs differently. The way we interact with people, the way we think about ourselves, even if we're in a really chaotic or challenging situation, if we feel peaceful inside, that situation may not occur in the same way, or we may have different solutions and different ways to deal with it. So I think starting with our heart condition and the peace in our heart and the quality of our consciousness is a really important, critical, and vital way for us to move forward as humanity and to create this world that we are dreaming about.
Beautiful, beautiful, and so badly needed right now. I mean, we have so much turmoil going on. So, thank you, Alexia, so much. If you want to check out Love, Peace, Harmony, do go to lovepeaceharmony.org. You can find a lot more about Master Shah. I think there's information on Alexia and various other leading teachers as well. This has been a genuinely uplifting conversation. I felt certainly heartfelt, heart full with this conversation. And it's a reminder that the outer change we want to see in the world begins with the inner work we're each willing to do and be. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And for everyone listening, who'd like to learn more about Love Peace Harmony Foundation and its work, go to lovepeaceharmony.org and just get more of it in your life because we all need that. Alexia, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy. And I look forward to meeting you in person next Monday.
Yes, thank you so much, Jarvis. It's been such a fun conversation, and I love this lean into clean, everything that you do. Thank you for being such a pioneer and just for like you are a front runner making, this whole movement, making this change on this planet, and you've been paving the way for so many people for so many years. So I really want to honor you and thank you for that and just all that it takes to do that. And I'm really excited for the PEA Awards. Stay
Yay. Thank you
tuned.
so much. You are most welcome. You've been listening to Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. Thank you, Alexia. Thank you all for joining us. We're going to play out with my song version of Save the World, which was originally, oh gosh, who was it done by originally? I've forgotten now. My mind's gone completely blank. But this is my version of it that's featuring Rita Mora. And every time you play this song, it will rack up money that we can donate. 100% of the donations go to the most affected children and areas around the world. This is Save the World by yours truly featuring Rita Mora. We'll see you next Monday. Have a super week. Love, peace, harmony.